Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
Hey, I'm Brett Harrelson. I'm head of partner community at Wix, and I've been a community advocate and guru all my life, and it is the greatest thing. It's the greatest profession on the planet, in my opinion, John.
That's awesome, Brett. That's what a great introduction. You set the right stage. I appreciate you making time to join us on the Ivy Podcast. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about, you know, that greatest profession in the world, what that entails. But before we do that, give us a thumbnail version of your career, your background.
Sure. So my original career path was in technology. I was an MIS IT graduate, and I was a partner at an IT consulting firm for almost 7 years, or maybe a little over 7 years. And during all of this, I loved the technology, but more importantly, John, I think what I loved was connecting people to the technology and solving pain points for people. People would have a lot of issues with their networks, with what's going on in their company. It was just a mess. And I would love sitting down with the CEOs, the decision makers, and just really providing a real solution and solving their problems. It was very personal for me. And while I'm doing all of this as a profession secretly, well, not secretly, but during my part-time hours, I'm an online community gamer, and I'm building communities, of which, of course, my community is still, you know, it's over 20 years old now, and they're still around and they're still playing, and it's great. Sometimes I jump in, John, you know, but that's really my passion. It was about people, and that's sort of my past of at least in the IT field. And then I ultimately, through a crazy turn of events, ended up joining Wix and building community, which I really had no intention of doing as a profession, which is what makes this so incredible.
That's pretty cool. And appreciate that overview, that background. And fast forward, you're currently at Wix, head of community. Tell us a little bit more about what falls under your purview. What are the different responsibilities that you execute on a day-to-day basis?
I think in communities, there's a lot, and specifically, you know, this one is more aligned with brand communities, which I think have a little bit of a different, is a different beast. So one of the primary roles I think that community managers facilitate is at least their first and primary role should be they control the temperature of the community. It's sort of like you have to sense the vibe. Communities have a vibe, they have a feel. And I think the primary role of any community leader or manager is to sort of have your finger on the dial and the pulse. And when things get hot, you turn the air on. When things get cool, you turn the heat up. And it's about keeping that area and that space consistent, and to make it where people feel comfortable to engage in whatever it is the community is intended to do. I think that's really number one, is safeguarding the spirit of the community and perpetuating it, right? And then I think secondary responsibilities would be for specifically brand communities, creating that product connection between the community and the product teams, for example, working with product teams to bring updates to the community, finding paths of creating little delightful moments where you can surprise them or give them inside access. Something like that really helps build brand communities. And then, of course, events, scheduling events, whether it's physical, digital. And I think within that realm, it's really sort of encapsulates. And of course, there's a lot more, but those are the primary three things I think that is the most important.
That's very exciting. And with community engagement, I think just being at the top of minds of a lot of startups, a lot of organizations, just building the communities around, whether that's their product or service, it requires specific skill set. It requires specific approach, methodology to that. And you have to remain consistent from that perspective. Share with us any, you know, from a standpoint of really building an effective community, or you know, furthermore, curating communities for growth, you know, and so ability to connect with each other. What are some of the frameworks or the strategies that really help you kind of contribute to that effective community building? I realize it's a loaded question, but I just want to get your initial perception or initial strategies that you execute.
John, that's a rabbit hole question. So if I go down, just yank me back, because I think it's the crux of so many conversations that I have, and I love this. So let's speak specifically about intentional and purposeful communities, which I think are very different. And let's define what Brett defines as a community. I think that's helpful here.
Yeah, please do.
I feel that when I use the term community, and that word's abused, I think largely in the world. So I would say what defines a community for me is a group of purposeful individuals that are moving towards a common goal and utilize each other for knowledge, for support, and as compatriots in a way, but they're working towards a common goal. And what's more important in that space is that the community members are engaging with each other on very personal and fantastic, and on that level. That to me is sort of the rule of thumb for what is or is not a community, and it's not the same as a follower. For example, an Instagram follower, I would not necessarily deem as a community. So just want to make that clear. So I want to talk about purposeful communities, which is there's a rhyme and a reason for the existence of the community. They're moving towards a purpose, and there's a goal, there's a collective goal. So I think one of the first steps here to building the framework, John, is really to identify what the purpose of your community actually is and what the goal is. So for example, if it's a brand community, you also need to be clear about what your goal is going to be for the brand side of things too, for the company, for the business, you know, startups. What's a measurement? What do we want out of the community? And then as a collective, if I was a member of the community, what would be my purpose and my goal? Does that make sense?
Absolutely does. It absolutely does. And so take us a little bit further from a standpoint, as you have, you know, let's say you have that purposeful community, or at least, you know, the early stages of that. What are the different iterations, or what are the different phases that, you know, comprise that process, getting to a level where the community is fully engaged, it's growing, there's a purposeful, you know, curation for connection there. Share your thoughts from that perspective with us.
So I think before you start piling people in, it's important to outline a few things. So you do want to get to the point where it becomes that organic place. But I want to walk you, just take a step back and walk you through a couple steps, and then let's talk about adding folks. I think before you do that, understanding what your purpose and goal is, then moving towards identifying who's that ideal member. So John, that's kind of in line with what you just said. Who do I want in this community? Like, what are they going to do? What do I expect them to do? Are they going to create things? And here's the other thing. What's the value for someone to be in the community? For them, not for me, for them. Why do they want to be there? And this is where you have to be real thoughtful and mindful, because it can't just be because I'm brand XYZ, they should want to be around. It isn't about that. And the truth is that it really sometimes in brand communities isn't all about you. It's about them. So I think that's really important to think about. And then also, if they contribute, what does that yield? And will that attract other members? And is that a part of your overall brand goal? Right? And then you get to, John, then you get to sort of have the conversation of platform. What platform do we want to go to? If you can identify the things I just talked about, then you can choose very easily. Do we go to this or that? Because it will solve, if you know what you expect from them, then that lets you help build the platform, right?
Yep.
Then we start adding people. And I think here, John, one of the great rules to keep things balanced and to encourage engagement is actually to have clear and concise rules. What is and is not allowed in an online space. This is not permitted. This is not the spirit. this is the way you need to communicate, right? I think that's so critical. And not only that, but you really have to enforce the rules as well, right? So it helps create your culture of who's here. And always keep your hand on that thermostat. I sort of talked about that earlier. Keep your hand on that thermostat, because if you make the atmosphere of the community conducive to what you want them to do, then they'll feel safe and they'll begin engaging and opening up, right? So I still have some more to go, but do you want to segue in here? Now I'm ready to tackle something else if you want to toss in.
That's a great segue into that, because as you define that mission, define that value proposition for the members, get to that next, you know, stage where you actually do get people to join that particular community. What does that look like? How do you go about getting the message out there? What's the next phase?
It's a great question. So if you know who your ideal member is, I think one of the things that you can do is you can take people who become part of your community and adopt what you're building. And you can take the heroes or the exemplary members, and you can create lots of content around that particular person, case studies. Wow, did you see what John did? Let me show you. You can write blog articles. You can have webinars with the person or the people who really resonate with what you're trying to build. You want someone who's in the right spirit, who is a badass in their own right. It depends on what you're building, but you want to tell their story and get behind them, make it about them, but also it's clear they're in line with you. You know, you're working together. It's about being successful together. But that's a great way to not only show people inside the community what the community contains and is about, but it's also a great way to show external entities that, hey, John over here is a badass and doing some amazing stuff. He's a part of the community. That's one way you can do it, right?
Well, I love the reference around the actual use case. So here's how we had succeeded in, you know, Project X, and that was how the community was built, and that's the value the members got out of this. Because I think those relevant examples, they speak volume versus something hypothetical that, oh, in theory, this is how it's going to work. So I think that makes perfect sense. So that's great. I love that. So we're moving on, community starts forming, rules are established, you know, the values are pretty clear, the users are starting getting engaged, there's some type of interaction is starting to happen. If there is a phase where you don't see enough traction or enough interaction as you had originally planned to occur, what are some of the strategies that really help you kind of to get the users re-engage and, you know, kind of the pick up the volume where you would like that to be?
So I'm going to teach you a hack. Okay. Please. And this is the hack. If you have activity and there are people gravitating and engaging, take your 1%, take the top engagers, the people who are there daily, weekly, your most engaged people, form a small group. I call them councils. They go by multiple super user group. There's a million names out there. I call them councils. Form your small group, 15, 20 people, and start nurturing them and asking them and being BFF with them and align your goals with what they're wanting and listen to them and ask them questions. What would be interesting for you? What's missing? What can I do to bring value to your life? That's the question you ask them. What can I do to bring value to you? And what they answer may be, we want to learn about X. It would be cool to sit down with this person at the product team. It would be, why can't we have a webinar on this? What they think is valuable should be what you think is valuable. And test it. And put some KPIs. If they say they want to sit down with this person, with what team, because it's going to let them see something or learn something, start setting those up. If you have attendees and it starts growing, put the metrics in place to say, hey, are people joining the community afterwards? Are they joining and messaging and engaging? That's an easy way to do it. Nurture that top 1% of your power users in your community and they'll do the rest. They'll nurture the rest of the community for you, actually.
That makes perfect sense. Where, you know, you identify almost like in product development, you work towards that product market fit, and you focus on those very early adopters, you know, your true fanatics. It sounds like it's a very similar strategy here, with as you build communities, zero in on those that are super engaged, that if you do a survey, who would, you know, on a scale 1 to 10, how upset would you be if this was taken away from you? Those that answer in the 9s and 10s, sounds like that's what you were saying. Focus on those type, you know, the users that will really help you take the community to the next level.
That's it. And you're really looking for people who exhibit the spirit of what you're trying to build, the camaraderie. These are the people that want to jump in and help Peggy find, do whatever Peggy's trying to do, or Bob, or, you know, they're the ones who are the first that their DMs are open. Their spirit is community, and you want them on your side, and you want to nurture them, because it's so powerful having, you know, I've never worked a day in my life, because I'm surrounded by friends, right? And that's what it feels like.
That's exciting. Aside from what you had already mentioned to us, from, you know, the key ingredients of a successful and super engaged community, in your experience, what are you seeing in the current market or in the past where companies had struggled in building, you know, very engaged communities? Some companies, some startups succeed and they just, you know, just build this group of fanatics, but other startups really struggle. From that perspective, what are some of the common denominators that you have observed in the past that really make you say, okay, maybe they, you know, going down the wrong path, maybe this is the wrong approach? Share with us anything around that.
That's a great question. And I would say, I think a lot of brands, there's an easy pitfall and an easy misstep inside of what is perceived as community, number one. What they perceive as community may not be actually community. A large Twitter following doesn't mean you have community, but if you have a large Twitter following that will activate and on a Friday afternoon with 34 hours notice, we'll come together and have 15 meetups in a state or across the world, or 100 meetups over something. Now that's an activated community, right? But doesn't mean that just because you have followers, you have that. I think that's a misconception. And two, I think at the core of community, the most important thing is that it's personal. It's about being personal, and it's about being human. And brands that can't step out of brand voice and make it shoulder to shoulder, eye level, personal, I think it's really difficult to build community around something that's not personal, right? If you were to think about, I mean, I can give you an example. Apple, I'm an Apple fanboy. I love their products. It's great. They've got great products. When I think community, When I go to the store, I know I'm going to expect an experience. But what also I know is, if I want to learn more about photography, or if I want to learn more about how to use my phone, there are user meetups. We used to be before COVID, right? But there were user meetups in their store. I could go and be a part of something and immediately plug in. So it's giving a shoulder to shoulder and an in-person experience to a brand. But it's the brands involved. But it's not about the brand. It's about taking the best photo of your daughter or your son or your brother or whatever. That's what it's about. And it's that personal and human touch that I think in a lot of places it's lost. Or maybe the third reason is a misaligned strategy. That's another reason for sometimes things not working out.
That's super cool. Those are, you know, definitely great examples, and they definitely resonate how, you know, some certain companies will succeed in that spectrum and some won't. And that's, you know, that's very exciting. I'm pretty sure we can probably spend the rest of the episode talking about something like this and going down the rabbit hole from those perspectives. But
and one more thing, I have to interject one more thing, John. I also think another failing point, an easy to miss point, is that you can't make it about you. Mm-hmm. It is always 100% about them. It is always about the community. It is not about the brand, not 100%. So if you aren't making it about them and making it about giving them value in their life, it won't work.
Yep. Right. Absolutely. That's a very great point. Thanks for making that. In terms of career path, as a community strategist, as a community expert, for those that, you know, the early stage career professionals that are looking into this as a career path, what's the next phase for you? Where do you see yourself, or what would be a kind of the typical career path as you build that expertise in the community strategy and, you know, execution? Share with us your thoughts from that perspective.
So I think anybody who's interested in the space, are you talking for me personally or someone interested in the space?
Well, I would love to get your personal take first, and then try to tie this to what would be kind of the overarching from the industry perspective path.
So for me personally, I'll actually reveal something. I think my stamp, what I'd like to leave on the earth before I go, I want to build personally, and this could be much further in the future or who knows when. I really personally, John, want to build a game that is at the core built around community. Meaning the game itself is really focused on the community elements of things that I've learned, that where the game itself isn't really what keeps people playing. It's the community base built into it. I've been a part of a few games that were just outstanding, and the community is lifelong. Your experiences are lifelong. And I don't see those in the games. I don't see those in anything. It's all click, click, join, and you shoot people or throw cars at people or whatever it is you do in these games, right? But it doesn't really foster the humane and connection level that really exists and that people really strive for, and it's missing the mark. So for me, what I want to do is one day, that's what I want to do. That's where I want to go. I want to build the greatest, most addictive game, but not because of the metric, not because of the game, but because of the people. That's it. That's magic to me. That's what I want to do.
I love that. I love that energy. I love that passion. And when you have that, you know, you're probably already halfway there. If you exhibit that much passion towards that, I'm pretty sure you're already one step close just to making that happen. So that's
one day.
Well, keep us posted. Once you get ready to launch, our community, we definitely would be more than happy to jump in and play and download and do all of that great stuff. And Brett, in conclusion, I usually like to talk a little bit more about each guest's content diet. What are some of the sources that are helpful to you to stay ahead of the game, to be ahead of all the industry trends from community building perspective? Share with us those.
There are communities for community builders, and if anybody's interested in the space, becoming a community builder, first, I would recommend joining online communities. If you aren't already there, find something that is personal to you, that you're interested in. It could be composting. It could be riding my bike on the weekends. It could be anything like that. And understand the dynamics. Dive in. And one of the best resources, I think, specifically for up and coming folks, John, that are interested, or even professionals that are in it, like I am, I think CMX could be one of the best places for resources available. So there's a group. They have a Facebook group. They have a site. it's about community building, and it has some fantastic folks in there and some real titans of the industry doing some really incredible stuff. So I would, anything that gets dropped in that group or anything that's on that side, man, it's a gold mine, all of it.
And definitely share with us those links. So the titles of those, you know, communities, we'll make those available in the episode notes for our listeners so that they can join, explore that further. And so in conclusion, Brett, how do our listeners find you? What's the best way to connect with you if they want to, you know, pick your brain a little bit further on some of the community building strategies and things like that? Where do people find you?
Oh, yeah, you can find me at, I've got Twitter. I think it's at Brett Harrelson. Although, you can just straight DM me. I don't have much of a presence there, but I do check my DMs. So feel free to reach out to me. That's an easy way.
Awesome. We'll definitely link to that so people can connect. Brett, can thank you enough to time, you know, for all the great insights that you shared with us today. It was very short, but very insightful conversation. I personally, you know, I was able to take away quite a few strategies for myself. And I would love to do a follow-up episode with you where we can take maybe a particular use case or case study that we can decompose and talk a little bit more about how are they building the strategy around community and things like that. I would love to have that as a follow-up recording with you.
That would be awesome. I've got some things that have happened in the industry that are just fantastic. I'd love to show you.
Love it. Let's do that. Let's pick one case study, decompose it, break it down. And I think our listeners would definitely appreciate that. Brett, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. We'll stay in touch.
I love it. Thanks so much, Sean. Thanks for having me. This was amazing.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.